Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to your Monday late edition, a little bit here, of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Sorry about the late podcast. Normally they come out at 6 a.m., had some things that came up, kind of delayed the recording of it a little bit, some technical issues, a couple of things broke, not too fun. So sorry about that. We'll be back to regular scheduled programming at 6 a.m. tomorrow on Tuesday for you all. So Pelicans, we're going to be talking about the weekend that was their 1-1 week with a loss against the Clippers on the road. Also on the second night of the back-to-back, they beat the Suns in overtime. 1-1, probably about the best thing that could have happened for this team, though I don't particularly like the Suns win. Though I was recently told that, hey, no win is a bad win, any win is a good win. So I guess we can kind of look at it like that. And say maybe, you know, again, this is probably the ideal scenario for the Pelicans, especially with them resting some people. So we'll break down these games, what went well, what didn't. There was one big surprise. I'm sure you all know who that was on the team, so that was nice to see as well. Just something to give Pelicans fans hope, even though it's not likely going to do much for the year. So we'll talk about that guy. We'll talk about the loss, the win, what it all means going forward. Is there anything to really build off of or take away from? That's kind of going to be the issue and the question here. So we'll just dive into it when it comes to Locked On Pelicans today. Don't forget, Locked On Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, is the only podcast coming to you guys 5 days a week, giving you this kind of insight, breaking down games the day after they happen for you to listen to on your morning commute, your drive home from work, your lunch break, whenever it might be. So please, we are on iTunes, it's on Audio Boom, it's on any of the apps that you use to get podcasts. So make sure you're liking it, you're subscribing to it so you get the latest episode. And, you know, it gives you an update whenever a new one comes out. They're always at 6 a.m., so they're always going to be there waiting for you when you wake up, unless you are waking up earlier than 6 a.m., in which case I kind of feel bad for you. So they're going to be there at 6 a.m. for you, only podcast doing it. So rate it 5 stars, like it, share it with your friends. Social media, word of mouth is always very, very important. And don't forget, this is the Locked On Podcast Network. There's a whole network of podcasts out there. Whatever your favorite team is, there's someone covering it with a daily podcast like this one, whether that's the Saints or the Pelicans, another basketball team, another football team. Also, if you just want to know about the NBA as a whole, the Locked On NBA podcast hosted by David Locke is absolutely excellent. Going to give you a lot of insight there that you're not going to get in other places. So please make sure you're, like I said, rating us, liking it, subscribing. All of that's only good for the channel. And if anyone's interested in advertising, there's a very good demographic this podcast reach. So please don't hesitate to reach out to me. The email I always use and I give out to people, it's jake@bourbonstreetshots.com. And also, as a little bonus here, I finally got some music worked out. We should have that intro thrown into the podcast later this week. I'm excited for that. Making it sound just a little bit more professional should be a lot of fun. So stay tuned for that. So the Clippers game, it was a 133-105 loss Saturday night. Pretty rough. It was on the road in Los Angeles, and the Pelicans did not play. You know, Dante Cunningham's still out. Tyreke Evans is still out. Quincy Pondexter still out. So you have the three guys that have been out. And then the Pelicans kind of surprised us by still holding out Jrue Holiday with the turf toe injury. Etwan Moore with the foot injury he's had. And then they decided to rest Anthony Davis. Didn't play. It wasn't due to injury. Just they wanted to get him some rest. He's been playing a lot of heavy minutes. I've been critical of that this season. So wasn't not the worst decision. I really didn't hate this, especially given the minutes that he had been playing in the past couple of games, and knowing that you have a potentially winnable game against the Suns on the second night of a back-to-back. So they kind of tanked this game in a way, played for the win Sunday, which of course it worked out that was kind of close. But missing Davis, Holiday, and Etwan Moore, that's about 65 points on average per game. So you knew the Pelicans were going to struggle to score. And at that point, they only had, I think it was just 9 guys dressed for the game. Cheick Diallo was still called up to the team. They brought him back from the Austin Spurs just because they needed to get him, not some playing time, but they needed an extra body on the bench just in case. And that turned out to be a really good decision. So look, this game, when you're playing without those guys in Davis, Holiday, Moore, look, they're punting on this game. We all know it. They know it. They can say it was just rest and whatever. But no, they weren't actively trying to win, let's say. Some of the bright spots before I start talking about Diallo. Solomon Hill attacked early. He made both of his three-point shots. He's still not consistent enough on offense, but he gave him 13 points in this game. That's pretty good. I don't hate that. If that's what he's giving you along with good defense, I'd be okay. Terrence Jones missed only two shots. He was 7 of 9, scored 18. One of the misses was a three. You'd like him to get to the line more as a power forward. He got big playing up there. Only got there four times, but again, this is Clippers. They're a good team. It was going to be rough. You know, the Pelicans did score over 100 in this game. They scored 105, which is above their, average of everything, but man, they had no answer for Chris Paul, who put up one of the most absurd stat lines I think I've ever seen. 20 points, 20 assists, 5 rebounds, and then the big number was 0 turnovers. 0 turnovers they forced. So there was no pressure on the perimeter. There was no pressure at the point of attack. That's going to happen when you're missing Jrue Holiday. I saw someone on Twitter throw it out there that Tim Frazier has a good points per shot or points per play, according to Synergy defense stat in isolation. The problem is they run him through a lot of screens and he's not often the primary defender. So he still struggles on the perimeter. You can create a lot of space for an opponent by setting a screen that Frazier isn't able to come through. And they did that with Chris Paul. And this, they put up 133 without Blake Griffin, which is pretty absurd. Everyone was kind of contributing overall for the Clippers. But look, they weren't, like I said, they weren't going to win. It doesn't matter. The big thing here was Cheick Diallo. In 30 minutes, 40 seconds of play, dude scored 19 points, 10 rebounds, including 3 offensive rebounds, which is pretty good. He had 2 steals, just 1 turnover, and he was 8 of 15 shooting from the field and 3 of 6 from the line. This was our first real extended look at Diallo outside of Summer League, which you're not going to factor in, you're not going to count, you're not going to look at his play in the D League. I don't necessarily think those are indicators of success in the NBA, and I know a lot of people wanted him, but besides the point. But dude got some run on the court and played very, very well, and that wasn't in garbage time when the Clippers were up, you know, close to 20 points plus. This was during the game when he was playing against DeAndre Jordan and the like, and he's grabbing rebounds over this guy, and that's one of the better rebounders in the league. So it was really impressive to see, actually. You've got to really like what you saw from Diallo the other night. Maybe it earns him, a roster spot on the team full-time, and he doesn't necessarily need to go down to the D-League anymore, though I think they will send him, as we'll talk about when we talk about the next game in a moment. But the dude has just high energy, which is great. You see him really trying to crash the glass hard. Show it something that the Pelicans don't have at times. They struggle with defensive rebounding. Having a guy like him, just an energetic rebounder who can actually score on offense, it's given you more than, Omer Asik does. His mid-range shot is pretty good. His jumper is very clean. The strokes, pretty good. His form's good. It's not amazing. I think he's got some room to improve there. But when you see him at the free throw line, it's a pretty clean release. He gets good rotation on the ball. It's nice to see. So I think he's a guy that the Pelicans want to keep playing going forward. I think you've got to be smart and do it in limited minutes, let's say. But you don't want him playing 30 minutes every game. If this game is a close game, you got to wonder if he's going to be in crunch time down the stretch. I doubt it, as again we saw last night against the Suns. But he's a guy that warrants, some more attention and to keep an eye going forward. Some other news, I guess I should have mentioned at the top of the podcast, was Pelicans did cut Anthony Brown from the team. They had brought him in after he played incredibly well in the D League. The problem was he didn't make his shots. In the final game was a Philly game. He was 0 for 7 from 3. So it's, or 0 for 7 from the field, sorry. It's just, if you weren't making shots, there's no reason to keep you. They had hope he would have some 3 and D potential. And it looked like he did, but the problem was if you're not shooting, there's no 3. And that was the problem. So he wasn't making shots. It seemed like the right move. It's just unfortunate. They brought in Reggie Williams, bit of an NBA journeyman. Did play 16 minutes in the game against the Clippers, but we'll talk about him in the Suns game, the win in overtime, in just a moment. So, but overall, good game, you know, from certain guys on the Pelicans. Terrence Jones scored. Tim Frazier did his Tim Frazier things. 20 points, 11 assists against Chris Paul. That's pretty good. You know, 3 turnovers, not ideal. 5 fouls, not ideal. But again, it's Chris frickin' Paul, who's been described as the point god. So it's not surprising. Tim Frazier can give you stuff on offense. He can also take it away. Doesn't give you a ton on D, as we saw with the Chris Paul numbers. But, you know, look, there's still this talent level on this team just isn't high. They're not going to beat a Clippers team that's almost fully healthy, especially when you're without your best player in Anthony Davis. So this one was an expected loss. It was a loss. It was pretty ugly, to be honest. And it's just kind of, you just throw this out and don't really look at it, because what are you going to do? So the game I really want to talk about, more so than the Clippers game, is certainly going to be the 120-119 win over the Phoenix Suns in overtime last night on the second night of a back-to-back. Pelican, this game looked like it was not going to go in the Pelicans' favor. I had a friend text me asking me if I was going to do another angry podcast, and it certainly seemed like that was going to be the case for a little while, especially with the Pelicans down 8 entering the fourth quarter. And then they came alive, and they managed to win. So we're going to kind of talk about all of this. First big thing here is they did get Jrue Holiday back. He started. They got Etuan Moore back. He came off the bench. And they didn't rest Anthony Davis. And Anthony Davis actually turned out to be kind of a quiet game for him. He put up 14 and 12. But for him, you know, that's, you know, not exactly the norm here. So interesting to see the game he had with that. And the fact that the Pelicans managed to win despite him not being his usual dominant self. So through the first 3 quarters, Pelicans shot really, really poorly. They were under 40% for most of the night shooting, misfiring, couldn't buy a bucket. And it looked like this was just going to be any other game where, okay, they're not making their shots, they're not hitting things, they're going to lose. And then in the fourth quarter, they got very hot. And that's where they ended up winning this game. And I was talking about it on Twitter last night after I watched it. And I was a little bit behind, but I was looking at it, and I was trying to figure out how exactly the Pelicans won this game. It makes almost no sense. The Pelicans themselves shot 52.4% in the fourth quarter, and Phoenix shot 55.6, and they were up 8 or 6 or whatever it was to start. And they shot better than the Pelicans did, and it's just a little odd. You know, what happened? They took an extra free throw attempt compared to the Pelicans. They shot better from 3 than the Pelicans did. But at a certain point, it's a math issue. The Pelicans were 6 of 14 in the fourth quarter from 3 for 42.9%. But 6 of 14. The Suns were 4 of 6. Those 2 threes right there, that's 6 points. That's huge. Pelicans made 2 more free throw attempts. They were 6 for 6 from the line in the fourth quarter, whereas the Suns were 4 of 7. That's it right there. There's your 8 points to tie the game. 2 threes and 2 free throws made more than the opponent when the opponent was scoring and playing incredibly well. The Pelicans in that quarter put up 34 points. Phoenix put up 28. Send it to overtime to win that quarter. It's, you know, a bit interesting here because that's really close. Easily could have lost. Before we kind of go into what happened and maybe how they did that was, the Pelicans did win the points off turnover battle. That's something they haven't done a ton this year. They had, you know, Phoenix had 16 turnovers. They had, and then the Pelicans turned that into 16 points. Normally, you don't see them doing that. The opponent wins it. The Pelicans haven't been pushing it in transition, which is a bit odd, you would think, considering they want to play with a fast pace. But I think they like just to take, you know, shots early in the shot clock, push it that way in that sense. And after, you grab defensive rebounds. So, you know, they punished Phoenix enough off their turnovers that they forced 16 turnovers a good bit. So it was good to see the Pelicans do that. It's nice. I think it's starting to maybe something they can build off of. Anyway, this win, though, in the fourth quarter, it was really Langston Galloway getting very hot. He shot 4 of 7 from 3, 57.1%. Well, I've talked about this, and, you know, you guys have seen it when you watch the games. At times, he's a really streaky shooter. You don't know what you're going to get from him on a nightly basis. In the fourth quarter alone, he was 4 of 6. That's the game right there. He was their offense for a little bit, hitting some threes. He played the entire fourth quarter. So you got to wonder what's going on there, where all of a sudden he plays a good bit and he shoots really well. But if he has an off night, they lose this game by, you know, 5-6 points, let's say. But he did, and the Pelicans got kind of lucky. And that's why I don't think this is a particularly good win for him. I think it was pretty lucky. I don't necessarily think, you know, they deserved this win. At a certain late in the fourth quarter, too, I thought a lot of the foul calls were, by the refs, not very good. I thought it was just poorly officiated overall. But it looked like some of the fouls the Pelicans got, whether it was an and-one or a shooting foul, were dicey at best, let's say. Now, I'm not going to complain. And like I said, I was recently told that, you know, any win is a good win no matter how it happens. And I guess when you look at it that way, yeah, of course. But for, you know, three quarters, this Pelicans team wasn't good. They looked helpless again. They were shooting under 40%. And they managed to come alive late in the game. Look, this team has talent. They shouldn't necessarily be in tight games with the Phoenix Suns getting blown out at home by the 76ers, especially when you have Anthony Davis. That's the frustration of a lot of people here. So, you know, it's just same issues, poor shooting. You know, I think this team is who we think they are now. You know, you're thinking of the Denny Green clip, aren't you? So am I. But, you know, when it's they are who we thought they were. Well, we thought this team was something else to start the year. We thought Solomon Hill would shoot better. We thought Langston Galloway would be a consistent shooter and not such a streaky shooter and do it in bunches. And, you know, we thought maybe Etuan Moore could be a guy who could carry the scoring load for the Pelicans. And at times he's shown a good shooting stroke and a good knack for getting to the basket. But that's not a guy who's going to give you 20 any game, or he's not going to give you 15 on a consistent basis. He had 9 last night in the win. So they just, it's these guys are who they were before they came to New Orleans. That's who we thought they were, and that's what we're seeing. So it's a bit disappointing in that mindset that, okay, yeah, these guys didn't end up taking the step up. And that's why I don't find this a particularly great win, because, again, without Langston Galloway going kind of bananas in the fourth quarter and scoring 12 points, they don't do a whole lot and they lose this game, especially with Anthony Davis not playing particularly well. Interesting thing to note at the end of the game, and I wonder if you might see this going forward a little bit more at times, is the Pelicans actually played a small lineup, very, very small. And I don't necessarily consider Anthony Davis and Terrence Jones a small lineup, but you still have Davis. They're both big guys, you know. But they did go with Anthony Davis at center, and then they ran Tim Frazier, Langston Galloway, Drew Holiday, and Etuan Moore to close the game in the fourth quarter, actually. So some things from that. They grabbed 85.7% of the defensive rebounds available, defensive boards. So they cleaned up on the defensive glass. When they got a stop from the Suns, they made sure to get it and didn't give up a second chance point with it, which was something interesting. When you've got four guards out there, you think that might not be the case, though Holiday tends to be a pretty okay defensive rebounding guard. Davis was also fighting hard to swallow up everything he could there. But it was weird. I think they wanted more shooting on the court. That lineup put a negative 1.2 net rating out there in 7 minutes of play. I don't know what it was exactly just in the fourth quarter to close the game, because that's not exactly how it went. I don't know if there's a way to find that. I've been trying to dig a little bit here. So it was interesting to see, though, that, you know, Alvin Gentry went small. And a lot of that had to do with, one, you needed shooting on the court. You needed some threes to make sure. And the Suns kept scoring immediately after the Pelicans would score to either tie the game or take a lead by a point or two, let's say. And I think they just wanted quickness out there to maybe neutralize Tyson Chandler a little bit. So it was good overall. It was a lineup move that paid dividends and worked for the team, even though, you know, it kind of doesn't look like it with the final net rating in the box score and everything. But that lineup worked, and it was effective late in the fourth. And it was nice to see. That's also who came out to start overtime and played there too. So overall, very good from the Pelicans to kind of make a smart lineup choice and change. So we talked about Cheick Diallo in the last game against the Clippers. Only got 9 minutes, a little bit over 9 minutes of play this game. Was 1 of 3 from the field, 2 of 2 from the line, 4 points total. But he had a high plus minus of 9. And you can just see the difference he makes when he's on the court. He brings energy. The team really likes him. You've got to wonder if they should consider keeping him on this active roster more rather than sending him to the D League. There's going to be games where he doesn't play a ton. You don't want to trust him in crunch time. You don't know if that's going to help or make a difference. But right now he's doing some good things. And you got to see if the Pelicans are going to continue to go with it going forward. Reggie Williams also played particularly well for the Pelicans. This guy was in the D League 2 days ago. He shot 4 of 5 from 3, 80%, had 17 points off the bench. The entire bench did most of the work in this game, actually. Frazier had 14. Frazier had a triple-double, by the way. I guess we'll talk about that. 14 points, 11 rebounds, and 11 assists. Very good job by him. He had 5 steals, really contributed. This is one of the more impactful games he's had on this team. They needed the bench to step up tonight with Anthony Davis having a poor game. 14 points, 12 rebounds, pretty good overall, but, he wasn't putting up 30-something. Holiday was the only starter other than Davis who really did anything, but you had Galloway give you 12, all of that in the fourth quarter, and all of that on threes, actually. He didn't take a shot that wasn't a three, looking at it now and thinking about it. Twan Moore gave you 9 off the bench. Frazier, 14. Reggie Williams, 17. Cheick Diallo, 4. The bench stepped up. This is why, kind of what the Pelicans thought the year might be. They have more depth with a guy like Galloway. Diallo maybe adding something to it. It hasn't really worked out that way. Like I said, I think these players are who they were before they came here, which is a bit disappointing. But still, good to see. It was nice to get a win. A win is a win. That's a good thing. I don't know if this is necessarily something to build off of. I don't think you want to go with the Langston Galloway in the fourth quarter offense entirely again, because if he's cold, they don't win. But hey, just be happy it's a win, but not something you build off of, not something that's any indication of this team's fortunes changing going forward. So thank you for listening to Locked On Pelicans today, your Monday edition. I know it's a little late. It'll be back to its regularly scheduled time at 6 a.m. tomorrow after I clean up all the broken stuff in my apartment. Long story. Anyway, so we'll be back at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Thank you guys for listening. Don't forget, rate it on iTunes, subscribe on iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher, whatever podcast app you use. And like I said, be back with you guys tomorrow. Enjoy your Monday.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.